Hey there, I'm Susan Masika in Bern. This edition of the Swiss Info program is dedicated to our feathered friends, in particular, geese. Around this time of year, people near Lucerne gather for a rather weird festival, which revolves around a dead goose hanging on a stage. We'll take a gander at that a bit later on. Speaking of parties, we'll hear from the Swiss chef who catered Prince William's wedding and runs a top London restaurant. He'd surely know how to roast a goose. And maybe there's a goose on your Christmas shopping list. But have you considered where they come from? I decided to visit a Swiss farm to see for myself. I drove to Grosswangen, a village about half an hour from Lucerne. In addition to geese, the Schulerhof farm raises rabbits and cattle. They also grow beans and grain. When I arrived, the geese were honking like crazy. But it wasn't because of me, as I learned from farmer Beat Wurst.
Was ist dann los?
Turns out that they were arguing over an apple that one of them had found. I asked Beat what they normally get to eat.
It's mostly meadow grass, and in the evening they get some cereal, mainly as a treat to lure them into the barn. We keep them inside overnight, so they're safe from wild animals, like foxes.
Then a not-so-wild animal joined us, a young black cat. As he said, it was an affectionate kitty who liked to cuddle. In fact, the little guy sat on my shoulder as Beat told me about his geese. The Schulerhof farm is a member of Weidegans.ch, a Swiss group devoted to raising and marketing free-range geese. More than 40 farms and 13 Swiss cantons are members. The idea is that these birds enjoy a better standard of living than their cousins at factory farms, who are typically crammed in dark sheds as they fatten up. The free-range meat is supposed to be tastier and less fatty, too. This was the second year that Beat participated. He gets the goslings, about 80 altogether, in late spring. He says the first month is the most intense. When they arrive, they're just a day or two old, and they need to stay inside a heated barn.
As soon as they have feathers, they're pretty much weatherproof. But at the beginning, when they just have fluff, they have to keep dry. After that, we let them out in the morning and bring them in at night. And that's it. They're pretty easy to keep.
Then we went to check out the geese up close, with the little kitty trotting along behind us. He didn't have to worry. The geese aren't aggressive.
No, not at all. They might fight a little bit amongst themselves, but against us, never. If a cat or crow shows up, they'll have a look out of curiosity. But they've never attacked anyone.
Every 3 or 4 days, Beat has them rotate between 3 paddocks. He was saying that they're pretty choosy and will eat only the freshest blades of grass. As for water, he's modified big plastic pipes to serve as drinking troughs. There's even a little swimming pool, but it's not very popular. Apparently, 2 or 3 of the geese use it, but the others prefer a couple of shallow wading pools. As Beat said, animals don't always do what we expect. Maybe that's what makes the geese so entertaining as they waddle around at Schulerhof.
There's always something to see with geese. Hikers stop to watch them. Geese are rewarding animals in that sense.
Financially, the reward is also quite good. At 35 francs a kilo, the price for a free-range goose is higher than the going rate for other poultry, yet the birds are fairly low maintenance, and sales have been good. Beat had already slaughtered and sold 20 geese, and of the 60 remaining, 50 were already spoken for when I visited. He says the tough thing is that Swiss consumers aren't so familiar with goose meat. But word is getting round, and he hasn't had to do any advertising. On the Weidegans.ch website, people can find the nearest farm and see how many geese are available. Beat says these first 2 years have been so successful that he'll probably raise another gaggle of geese next year. I left the farm with a feeling that the geese were enjoying a good life. And I also wondered whether I should try to roast a goose this winter. Not far from the farm, where I heard that goose meat was fairly uncommon in Switzerland, I found a place with a feast day dedicated to the big white bird. Sursee has an attractive old town and one very unusual tradition. On every November 11th, St. Martin's Day, it's the Gansabhauet, which means cutting down the goose in Swiss German. This is how it works. A dead goose dangles from a wire on a stage in front of the town hall. People take turns swinging a sword at it. Whoever manages to cut down the goose, via decapitation basically, gets to keep it. To make the game more challenging, the players are blindfolded, and they have to drink a glass of wine first. And for the sake of theatrics, they take turns wearing a special costume, a long red robe, and a golden sunburst mask. As the candidates grope at the goose, spectators shout out encouragement. Local historian Michael Blatter explained the technique to me.
They are disoriented and they only have one chance for one stroke. And if they miss that, well, the chance is gone for the next year, for another year. And they try to find out where is the thinnest part of the neck. So if they hit the shoulder, they don't have any chance. And if they hit the head, they have no chance neither. So, yeah, some of them even try to pluck out some of the feathers to increase their chance. But I don't think that the feathers would hinder any good blow to cut it down.
He estimates that the custom dates back to the 16th or 17th century, but it went out of fashion for a while before coming back in 1863.
People know it from childhood. And you hear the voices from the little children watching it and guessing who would be under the mask.
And also they're giving some advice, yes, aren't they?
And they try to give some misadvice too, to misguide the guy. Oh, no. This guy has hit the chest, so he had no chance.
That was really way too low. But I mean, as you say, look at all these children shouting and excited, but to me, it seems a little bit brutal. We've got a dead animal hanging.
Well, it is. The first time that I saw it, I had the same impression. But I think when you grow up with it, since it's a custom, it's in not every day, but every year practice. And you know how it works, and you know what it's about, and you know that whoever wins the goose may take it home and feast with friends. And therefore, quite a few young men and women are eager to have a chance themselves.
This year, a lot of people had a chance. Normally, the goose comes down after about 5 tries. This time, it took 13. As it turned out, I wasn't the only American in the crowd.
My name is Martin Walsh from the University of Michigan.
He's been all over Europe to research customs related to St. Martin's Day.
I'm looking for the carnivalesque in the celebration of a very important Saint's Day. So I've been surveying the literature, the art, for the secular aspects of celebration of Martinstag.
And does it always involve a goose?
A lot of the time here in Northern Europe, yes. I've found geese in Denmark, in Croatia, in Flanders, Netherlands, Northern Italy a little bit. Yeah, yes. It's because the geese are very fat this time of year and it's a very valuable special animal to slaughter for feasting at the beginning of the winter season.
And what did he think of Sursay's festivities?
Oh, I think it's a great little festival. I mean, especially the way that managing the children and, you know, they have an opportunity to be part of things and, you know, can get their little piece of cheese. That's great. And the greasy pole or... Yeah, no, it's a nice little event. Yeah.
Is there anything about it that surprised you? Because I'm sure you researched it quite a bit beforehand. So what is maybe different than you expected?
How difficult it is to make the correct blow. Yeah. So some of the contestants seem to know what to do, but they don't. You know, they don't quite have the force, or haven't hit the right spot, or. And having been inside the mask, it's very disorienting, not only to be blindfolded, but to have this big thing on your head.
He's been to other Swiss festivals as well.
I've been to Switzerland several times. I've been to Basler Fastnacht, and I've actually run behind the Schägete in Lochental during Carnival, too. So that was quite exciting. They have these big masks with the horrible horns and big teeth. Big wooden masks, cowbells, and shaggy costumes. And they just run from the top of the valley down to the bottom of the valley, the Lochental, and making a lot of noise, of course. in every little village that they pass through, the fireworks go off. And it's really like an invasion of demons coming down the mountain.
And you say you've been to Switzerland a few times. I mean, otherwise, you know, during everyday life, it's usually pretty quiet here, pretty calm and orderly. Why do you think these festivals where everything is so wild are so popular?
Well, exactly for that reason. It's a change of pace, right? It gives you a release, you know. I think the calmer and the more prosperous you are, the more you want a little bit of craziness or something old and archaic feeling to come back to and get a little bit excited about it.
Is a traditional Yuletide dish, but will Swiss star chef Anton Mosiman be serving it up at his table? London-based Mosiman was in Basel recently for the opening of the Christmas exhibition at the city's Toy Worlds Museum, which is showing items from his unique collection of cookbooks and menu cards, which cover 500 years of cooking history. Swiss Info's Isabel Leibold-Johnson went along to find out more.
Anton Mosiman's guests have included politicians, presidents, and celebrities from all over the world. He has cooked for four generations of the British royal family, including the wedding banquet for Prince William and Kate Middleton in 2011. The Swiss-born chef has his own private club, Mosiman's, in London. Before that, he was head chef at the Dorchester Hotel, which under his tutelage gained two coveted Michelin stars. Not many people know, however, that the dapper bow-tie-wearing Mosiman possesses a unique cookbook and menu cards library, the largest private collection of its kind. The collection started off with a lucky break, he explains.
The first few hundred books was offered to me when I was fairly young and had no money. And I went to the bank and, believe it or not, but the bank gave me a loan to buy cookery books. I mean, fantastic. And that was a very good start for my large collection.
So that may not happen today, that if you went to the bank to get a loan to buy some cookery books.
I don't think it will happen today at all. So I had a very friendly bank manager, and I'm still grateful that she was actually a lady, lent me the money. And now I've got more than 6,000 books, about 500 very, very old books, going back to 1600. And I'm very proud of that collection.
Mosiman's collection will eventually live in its own special museum on Lake Geneva. One of Mosiman's favourite volumes is a cookbook by Bartolomeo Scappi, chef to the Pope in the late 16th century. Particularly beautiful are the drawings of the kitchen, with the grills, pots and pans, he says. The collection also includes the first ever cookbook printed in German and a work by the famous Renaissance seer, Nostradamus, on making jam. Has the chef ever cooked anything from his ancient books? Well, yes, he has, for his clients at his club. And what's been on the menu?
We've done, for instance, a whole suckling pig for one of the parties as a main course, before we had obviously two or three first courses, fish, vegetables, whatever. And then also a whole leg of lamb, but the old-fashioned way, was marinated for hours, and then on the barbecue, slowly cooked. And wonderful recipes, very good results as well.
Cuisine from former times, with its rich sauces, was, however, much heavier than what Mosiman cooks today. His signature style is cuisine naturelle.
It's a style of cuisine without cream, without butter, without oil. It's very light. It's a very honest way of cooking. And it's very simple. And I believe that food should taste of what it is. So let fish taste of fish and chicken of chicken. Don't overpower it. Don't mix it up with too many other ingredients. Then you get a very good result. And that's very much like the way I like to eat and I like to cook.
Mosiman can count the British royal family among those who appreciate this style of cooking, and menu cards from various royal events, also historical ones, form part of the collection. Here's Mosiman.
I was very honoured to cook for Her Majesty the Queen Mother when I was chef at the Dorchester, and then for Her Majesty the Queen and Prince Charles since 25 years. The first dinner I cooked for him was in Prague for the Heritage Fund with President Howell. There were 300 guests for 3 days. And I had a brigade from all over Europe, friends of mine who came and supported me. and then very happy and very honored that I was asked to cook the wedding for Prince William and Kate.
How was that?
It was fantastic. They came to my restaurant for a tasting, and I knew their likes and dislikes, so we prepared lots of dishes, and they have chosen the right thing, and I'm very pleased, very happy that I was part of it. And I say the British royal family are in good hands.
Mosiman still maintains ties to Switzerland. He has a home on Lake Geneva and works here as well, doing, for example, the catering for big charity events. He says his Swiss chef's training has stood him in good stead during a career which has taken him all over the world. He is now 68, but shows no signs of slowing down.
Still now I go to the markets, I get excited, especially in the Far East. I went to Bangkok last year for many times, and then to Singapore, Laos, Vietnam, and you always pick up different ingredients and different styles, so I'm still hungry to learn, I'm still eager to learn, and it's exciting to be a chef.
And what does Mosiman himself cook at Christmas? Is there a Swiss touch?
It's a very good question. We get together as a family, and either we cook something traditional Swiss, or we are a bit more innovative. Now we have 5 grandchildren, so fondue chinoise is quite in at the moment because the kids love to dig into it and eat their own, cook their own food. So fairly mixed, but a nice meal. And always the Christmas pudding, which again I created 25 years ago without suet, so vegetarian. It's a very light pudding and the whole family just loves it.
That was Isabel Leibold-Johnson reporting. Feeling hungry at this point? Visit us at swissinfo.ch for more food for thought related to Swiss news and culture. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Donnie Wheeler. I'm Susan Masika. Haven't got a halfpenny, then God bless you. Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. Please put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, then God bless you.